Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is our final sermon in the sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. And so far we've done the first article concerning God the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We've also done the second article concerning Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Today we're on the third article concerning the Holy Spirit and his work. Now remember, the Apostles' Creed has been confessed by Christians for thousands of years, some say perhaps from 180 A.D. And so in these latter days, as our Lord's coming is drawing nigh, we don't want to wickedly depart from this creed, which has been rightly confessed by Christians for thousands of years, but rather we want to continue to confess it, for it includes and holds the chief articles of our faith, by which we're saved through faith in Christ. And so, let's look at this today. Third article of the Creed concerning the Holy Spirit. And begin simply by reading it. So we say and confess this. We say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So there's the third article of the Creed. Why do we want to confess it? The reason we want to confess it is because it does summarize the chief teachings of the Scriptures concerning the Holy Spirit and His work and bringing Christ's blessings to us. The second reason you want to confess this creed and continue to do so is because we want to make sure we got the right Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, the one that comes from God, and not all the other spirits that are out there in the world today. Because let me tell you, there, and you know this, there are many, many spirits out there in the world today that vie for your attention and devotion and faith, contending as rivals against the Holy Spirit. So we want to confess Him rightly. What are some of the other spirits that are out there in the world today? Well, how about this one? The spirit of the world. The spirit of our culture. The spirit of Hollywood. The spirit of disobedience. The spirit of contention and anger. The spirit of the New Age religions, which has so infiltrated chaplaincies and churches. The teaching of the age of tolerance. The age of relativism. That all roads lead to Christ, like streams to the great ocean. Posh. And to the spirit of moral laxity, or anything goes. The spirit of Antichrist and the devil, who's the god of this age. So we don't want any of those spirits. We want to confess the third article of the Creed, which is, I believe in the Holy Spirit. For what's John say in his letter, chapter 4, he says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit which does not confess Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you heard that it was coming. Now it's in the world already. So when I'm setting up this sermon today, I'm saying we're going to confess and confirm and be refreshed in our faith in the teachings of the Scriptures about the Holy Spirit in whom we want to believe, so that we differentiate ourselves from all the other spirits that are out there in the world today that try to get us to believe in them or follow them. And we especially want to do this as Christ's coming is drawing nigh. So let's take a look today then, as we did last week, verse by verse through the Creed and see what it says. First verse of it says this, I believe in the Holy Spirit. So, again, not any other spirit, not the spirit of this age, not the spirit of Hollywood, not the spirit of Antichrist, not any other spirit that comes to me except this is the one I believe in. As your pastor and as you believe, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And who is that one? You can tell because he's the one Jesus gave. He's the one Jesus promised. Listen to John chapter 16, beginning at verse 15. It says this, verse 15, John 16:15, one page off there. You know what? I'm just going to read it from my page here. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, says Jesus, but now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked of me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if he goes, if I go, I will send him to you. That's the one I'm talking about when I'm saying the third article of the creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit. As he says in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So that's the number one thing I want to say to you today. Is when we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about anybody else except the one Jesus gave and promised to us, to send to us Christians, that we might be confirmed in the faith and be saved and hold that faith. So who is this Holy Spirit? According to the Scriptures, he is God himself. Acts chapter 5, remember Ananias and Sapphira thought they could lie to the Holy Spirit, take back a little bit of the proceeds for themselves. And what's Peter say to them? He says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land? And then he says, you have not lied to men, but to God. So the Holy Spirit, that's the one I'm believing in when I say this, the same one that hovered over the face of the waters at the beginning of creation, hovering over the deep. That's the one who's now hovering in my heart. That's the one I believe in, the one Jesus gave. And in the Bible, he's called, as we said a moment ago, I'll send you another counselor. In other words, he's just like Jesus. He is another. The word counselor is paraclete in the Greek, which means counselor, comforter, defender, guardian, protector, teacher, leader, friend, Lord, all those good things. That's the one I'm confessing, the very Spirit of God come to live in me and to be my defender and keeper until the end. So when you get out there in the world, then you hear other people bringing other spirits to you. Do you think you could discern for me today whether this is the Holy Spirit or not? If you go onto the internet, you type in, what is the Holy Spirit? You'll get this article. All right. Let me read it to you, part of it. He is a constant source, companion, and speaker of truth. No matter what you think you've done, the voice of love within you holds no judgments, never condemns, and only remembers your true perfection. It is in that it is the impossibility of sin and anything related to it. Does that sound like the Holy Spirit to you that we read about here? What did Jesus say in John chapter 16 says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll convince the world of sin and concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So this Holy Spirit here ain't the Holy Spirit that's in here. So this one, goodbye. I don't want that Holy Spirit. I want this Holy Spirit. Can you think of some other places where you might meet other spirits? I mean, who out there, seriously? Let's cut through the mustard. Who in the world doesn't say, I have the Holy Spirit? Doesn't everybody say that? But not everybody has the Holy Spirit. Think about how in August, perhaps, if the ELCA ordains practicing homosexual persons to their priesthood, what's their reason for doing that? Because the Spirit is moving us in a new way in this day. You know what? If the Holy Spirit is God, he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And you know who wrote this book, by the way? It was men, but by whose Spirit did they write? And here, I'm hoping to find that piece. I tucked it in here, but I also happen to have this one down. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, Peter says, first of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. That's the testimony of this book, that the Holy Spirit, whom you can't see this morning, though, is the author that inspired this book to be written, the truth of God. So if you get any spirit out there in the world, and people are saying, I have the Holy Spirit, I have the Holy Spirit, and they are not teaching or preaching or living in accordance with what is written in this book, they don't have the Holy Spirit. Because this is the one we're confessing. He is in accord with this book, and what's his job? The Holy Spirit's job, and I'm not even going to try to open it this time to find that page. But it is in John chapter 16. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. And then it says, he will glorify me, Jesus says, for he'll take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit's job. The way you can know if someone has the Holy Spirit or if that teaching is of the Holy Spirit, it's glorifying Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit never says, hey, look at me, how great I am, even though he is great. He's saying, look at him, Jesus. His job is to bring the world to Christ's salvation and to bring Christ to the world. It's Jesus that the Holy Spirit is about so that people can come to God the Father through him. That's why the Holy Spirit is given. That's his chief task. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus be cursed. Impossible. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So, that's the first part of the creed. When I say I believe in the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about anybody else but the one Jesus gave and promised to me, to us Christians. Then it says, I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. What are we talking about there? What's that have to do with the Holy Spirit? Well, his job, the Holy Spirit's job, is to create and build and look after the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. What did the Holy Spirit do? He sends preachers, as he does in Acts 13. He says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I've called them. Then he works through the preaching of the gospel, which he's doing, by the way, right now. Romans 10, faith comes from what is heard. What is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. And the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. He sent me to you. He's now inspiring me to preach to you God's gospel, which I will and am doing. And then to create faith in you. And then what's he do to bring you into the Holy Christian Church? Holy baptism through faith. He grafts us into the ark of God's salvation. Titus 3 says, we were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, etc. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God appeared, he saved us, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy by the washing of regeneration, washing of rebirth and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. So when I say I believe in the Holy Christian Church, I believe it's holy because Jesus has washed my sins. It's holy because the Holy Spirit sanctifies me and washes me in Jesus' blood through faith, regenerates me in baptism. That it is a Christian church because it belongs to Jesus Christ as the church, because we're all gathered together as the communion of the saints. And this Holy Spirit, his job this morning is to keep you in the faith until the day of Christ's coming. As it says, you were sealed with a promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. What's next? The forgiveness of sins. I watched this with Vivian and then with my family this week. Did you ever see this ER clip about forgiveness? You've seen the show ER? Well, there was a man in there one time who says to the chaplain, a new agey Christian chaplain, you know, the kind that's really trained in pop psychology type of chaplain, the kind that never gives a straight answer kind of chaplain, the kind of chaplain they were trying to make me into when I went to clinical pastoral education in another denomination, where they didn't even let me speak about Jesus and hell and Christ and salvation type of chaplain. Well, this guy is dying he's killed somebody as a worker for the prison that he knew was innocent, but he carried out the death sentence to somebody. And he says, how can I even hope for forgiveness? He tells the chaplain. The chaplain says, I think it's easier sometimes to feel guilty than forgiven. And then he goes, which means what? Maybe your guilt over your death has become your reason for living. Maybe you need a new reason for living. And he says, new reason to go on. And he says, I don't want to go on. Can't you see I'm old? I've got cancer. I've had enough. The only thing holding me back is I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what comes next. And then she says, and what do you think that is? He says, you tell me. Is atonement even possible? What does God want from me? And she answers, I think it's up to each individual to interpret what God wants. And he says, so people can do anything? They can rape and murder and steal in the name of God and it's okay? No, that's not what I'm saying. Well, what are you saying? Because all I'm hearing is some new age, God is love, one size fits all, C-R-A-P. I'm just spelled that for the children here. Now, I don't have time for this now. I understand, she says. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. How could you possibly say that? Now, you listen to me. I want a real chaplain who believes in a real God and a real hell. I know you're frustrated, but you need to ask yourself. No, I don't need to ask myself. I need answers. And all your questions and your uncertainties are only making things worse. I know you're upset. I need someone to look me in the eye and tell me how to find forgiveness because I'm running out of time. Isn't that the question? Goodness gracious. That we all have to ask, running out of time. Is there any way a sinner can be right with a holy God and the new age mumbo-jumbo type of theology sits here and gives answers and reflective listening but never gives a straight answer, looking from the eye. And I want to be today that chaplain who is a real chaplain, who's one who believes in hell and who believes in forgiveness. And I'll tell you right now, looking you straight in the eye, where we find this forgiveness we speak of in the creed, and that's in Jesus Christ. For the testimony of the Scriptures is that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Every one of us deserves wrath, death, condemnation, and yes, hell. And God, though, loves every individual. And so he sent his Son, lifted your sins, imputed them, and reckoned them to Christ. That's why he died, that you might be set free, and his righteousness might now be imputed, reckoned to your credit, who believe in Christ. As it's written, if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark with iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that thou mayest be feared. And Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is the biggest question in the world. I'm running out of time. How can a sinner be right with a holy God? Can I even hope for forgiveness? Look me in the eye, chaplain, and tell me that. Well, I'm going to forget all that stuff I learned in CPE. I'm going to forget all that stuff that I learned in other denominations and other seminaries and things like that. And I'm just going to tell you straight and true. You want forgiveness today? You want to be reconciled with a God who loves you today? Then that reconciliation comes through Jesus Christ and faith in him. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. To preach to you this gospel I'm preaching right now. He's speaking through me, not me. He's the trump. I am the trumpet. He's the one blowing the trumpet. And he's saying, come one, come all to Jesus and find your forgiveness. For his blood and his blood alone is what can reconcile you to God. And that work of reconciliation is accomplished in Christ. Now it comes to you through the preaching of the gospel. And you receive it by faith. And what does the Holy Spirit say? The promise is sure. These words are trustworthy and true. You may not be able to see it or feel it, but nevertheless, it's the same word by which this whole old earth was created in the beginning. The same word that came down to earth and it was faithful, Jesus Christ, is the same word that is going to raise your bodies up from the dead on the last day through your faith in Him. Which leads us to the second to last part of the Apostles' Creed here, which says, I believe in the resurrection of the body. Do you know that if you go out into the world or the other Christian churches, a 2000 poll of the Barna Research Data Institute, whatever, says there 33% of Christian pastors don't believe in the physical resurrection of Christ. Would you like to go to a church like that? I believe in the physical resurrection of Christ. If I don't believe in His physical resurrection, how am I going to be resurrected? But that's my faith. And many Christians also think, I'm going to die and just go to heaven. My body will just be left here on earth. That's not what the Christian faith has ever been. We go to heaven, our body's left on earth. On the last day, it's raised from the dead. That's what the whole purpose of the Bible is. To give you life and to raise up new bodies, glorified. Isaiah 26, God says, thy dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. O dwellers in the dust, awake and sing for joy. Won't that be great? I can't wait to see that. And it's going to happen. Not because I'm able to make it happen, but because God has promised it'll happen. And there'll be a general resurrection. And Jesus says, don't marvel at this. The hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and come forth. Those who've done good to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of judgment. And Paul says, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? You foolish man, what will you sow does not come to life unless it dies? But what you sow is not the body which is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. In other words, Luther says, the cemetery. You go by a cemetery, the cemetery or burial ground does not consist in a heap of the dead, but a field full of kernels, known as God's kernels, which will verdantly blossom forth again and grow more beautifully than can be imagined. You know that's true? The word that I'm testifying to is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now, saying, your dead body shall rise, awake and sing for joy, O dwellers in the dust. For God will raise you up. And it's the Father who raises you, the Son who raises you, John 5 and 6, and guess who else? Romans 8, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit, which dwells within you. So I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has made me one in His church, who has given me the forgiveness of sins, who's promised to raise and resurrect my body on the last day and bring me to life everlasting, where it is said, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. They shall dwell with Him, and He will be their God, and they shall be His people. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. And He who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And so, thanks be to God for His Holy Spirit and for this creed. Yes, the one true Spirit given to all Christians to bring Christ's riches and wisdom and power and salvation to us by grace, and to keep and guard us in the one true faith unto the day of our Lord and the joyful homecoming. I conclude with this from Romans 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen.